This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
The project's modernized version of The Taming of the Shrew, Oregon Shakespeare Festival's rockabilly version of Taming of the Shrew, also Post 5 Theater's raucous comedy, The Complete Works of William Shakespeare, and the Portland Actors Ensemble's Cymbeline and The Merchant of Venice. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris André.
NSA spying. On the email of reporters, that of foreign leaders at international conferences, well, actually on all of our email. The latest NSA target revealed? Brazil. That's right, Brazil. Join me, Linda Olson-Osterlin, for a deeper look this Thursday morning, July 11th at 9:30 a.m. My guest is FBI whistleblower Colleen Rowley. She will fill out the picture of NSA spying, the harm done to democracy and to the media that try to report about it. That's this Thursday morning at 9:30 a.m. on A Deeper Look, right here on KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor What the Festival, July 26th through 28th, 2013, at Wolf Run Ranch in Oregon. Featuring over 50 electronic and dance artists, including Purity Ring, A-Track, RJD2, and Tycho, as well as on-site art installations, a hookah lounge, and splash pool. That's July 26th through 28th, 2013, at Wolf Run Ranch in Oregon. Tickets on sale now at whatthefestival.com.
On Friday, July 19th, from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., tune in for KBOO's one-day flash drive fundraiser, a day filled with news and music from the equator to Antarctica.
Lecture topics will include climate change, gay rights, and an overview of African land grabs. Don't miss out on the chance to explore underrepresented music and news from across the Southern Hemisphere on July 19th from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, July 9th, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We've got Obamacare under attack from no less than the Koch brothers. You'd think they'd be behind it since it's a giveaway to the insurance industry. Egypt under attack by itself, the U.S. on the sidelines, wondering which horse to back in this race. The military or Muslim Brotherhood, fundamentalist religion. It's a tough call for the U.S. They are fond of both. And a report on the Greenhill Youth Facility prisoner strike in solidarity with the strikes going on in California and across the nation. First, this from the National Weather Service. Sunny today with a high near 85. We could have a bit of a breeze. And tonight, clouds moving in, lows around 59. Northwest winds 6 to 11 miles per hour. For tomorrow, more sunny skies with a high near 79. And not much of a breeze. Wednesday night, tomorrow night, the clouds are building up. And we have a low around 56 and west wind 11 miles per hour. The alternative forecast, the moon is one day old, it's a flower moon in Gemini. The synodic forecast advises leafy vegetables and annuals that produce above ground. But be sure about water, be careful about water. And if you're clever with succession, you already have plants and bushes in place to shield seedlings. The biodynamic forecast with the moon in Gemini, it's an air sign. It's a good time for sowing flowering plants. They agree again with the synodic groups. And the sidereal forecast, moon, they say that this is a good time for germination. So virtually all in agreement there. That's it for the alternative and the conventional forecast. Moving straight into news from around Cascadia. Yesterday, there were prison strikes across the nation, basically beginning in California. And spreading. One of the most interesting ones, at least to me, is the prison strike that took place at a youth facility. Youth facilities are harsh in many ways, is perhaps even harsher than it's difficult to be harsher than Pelican Bay and the Supermax facilities. But considering the age of the inmates, it's a particularly cruel place to be, and it's a place where the spirit is crushed, the mind is paralyzed and frozen with fear and intimidation. For anyone at all to raise their head above this this atmosphere of pending terror is remarkable. And the fact that prisoners at Green Hill Juvenile Prison in Chehalis announced that they were going on strike yesterday was extraordinary. They were striking, of course, in solidarity with prisoners in California and Guantanamo Bay and other sites. But they were doing it, they were alone, essentially. They were very young people, they were very alone. And we're going to speak now, I believe, with Mark Cook, a prison activist and guest on the show. Good morning, Mark. Thank you so much for being with us. We're really glad to have you. I find it just extraordinary. Do you know of any other youth facilities that participated in the strike?
No, I'm not aware of any other. I was down at the Green Hill facility across the street from in the park, and there was some people with me, a couple dozen. They were doing a noise demonstration. They had picket signs and signs that inmates inside could see. And I was able to speak on a speaker to the inmates, and I told them that we're going to facilitate their demands, that we're going to carry their demands to the public. I was able to talk to one of the staff who was with us at the time, and he said he was a guard who worked in the solitary confinement unit there. He didn't give me any specific information, but he agreed with what we were saying. And I didn't pick up his name. I'm sorry to say I didn't pick up his name. Pass it on to you.
No worries. But clarify that for listeners. I think a lot of people aren't aware that they actually have solitary confinement at youth facilities. Anything beyond 6 weeks is considered by the United Nations to be torture. Human beings are social animals, and being kept in isolation, particularly at that age, at a young age, is indeed torture.
Well, solitary confinement is common in all prisons, including juvenile. It's just rarely that you were able to hear juveniles get a voice out to the public about it. I was in Green Hill Academy in 1953 or 1954 as a juvenile, and conditions were much worse then. Well, I won't say they were much worse. It depends on who's in the prison at the time. But we weren't able to talk to them or communicate back and forth, but we saw them. They waved to us. And hopefully we'll get some information to see what effect it has or how they're proceeding inside. Are they continuing with their strike or what?
Can you tell us a few of the demands?
They're very impressive demands. The first demand is that they ban the box. This is when prisoners get out of jail and they try to find a job. They have to sign their application and say they've been imprisoned, And that's generally a strike one against them, that they're not going to get the job. Just recently, Seattle has legislated and included a ban the box in Seattle, where they no longer allowed in Seattle. And other, there's about 97 other cities who have done the same thing. So that was a very impressive demand. The last demand was against the 13th Amendment that allowed prisoners as slaves. They said they have, you know, child support, they have families to support, and they work. They don't work at minimum wage. They work at just a tip, sort of a gratuity.
Yeah.
That's all the state gives them is gratuity. So that was very impressive, that standing against slavery. Most people think slavery ended long ago. It just kind of ended with the, in the private field, but the state says, or the U.S. Constitution says, everybody who's convicted of a felon is a slave. And we find out now that there's a lot of speculation in the stock market on prisons and prisoners, and they've set up their own private prisons to use these prisoners.
Sure, yeah, it's a booming industry.
Yes.
The industry of souls. It's a terrifying thought. The Corrections Corporation of America is notable in that respect, that people are making a lot of money off of human misery. We've got Ed Mead also on the line joining us to talk about the strike. Good morning, Ed. Thank you so much.
Good morning.
We're delighted to have you.
And good morning to your listeners, too.
This is an amazing strike. How was it organized? Do you know anything about the people who were leaders in this respect, and how many people took part?
According to the Los Angeles Examiner, CDCR, the California Department of Corrections, is admitting to 30,000 prisoners eating.
We're talking now about California in general, and not specifically Green Hill. So, yeah, we want to.
Right, we're
no, that's
about
fine. I want very much to hear the report on California. I know listeners are waiting for that. Go ahead.
Well, there's 30,000 prisoners not eating, and thousands refusing to work. I don't have specific numbers on that, which is of historic proportions.
And this is this strike in the beginning in California. This is what inspired the young people incarcerated in Green Hill in Chehalis to stand up and demand basic human rights, as I understand it. Quickly, Mark, how many of the people at Green Hill participated? Do you know?
We don't have.
Oh, excuse me, Mark. I didn't know you were here.
Sorry. Go ahead.
We don't have any specific numbers on that, and we're waiting. There's some people who are working inside who may be able to bring them out to us, but we have to just wait and see, okay?
Back to the, I want to get back to you, Ed, on the action in California. So you say that's a huge number. The demand, and can you briefly outline some of the demands? Because there, prisons in California are a disgrace to the nation. It's unspeakably awful conditions that people are being kept in with no hope of anything, either on the outside or on the inside. And it's likely too that institutionalized life is about all that lies before these people. So what were some of the demands?
Mark, you want to address the demands?
No, you can go ahead.
Okay. The first demand was to stop group punishment. In other words, if I live on a tier with 24 other people and I do something wrong, don't punish the other 23 people. The second demand is to modify the gang validation process. Right now, it requires practically no evidence at all in order to validate somebody as a gang member and hold them indefinitely in segregation. And some of those people have been in there for as long as 40 years in a windowless cage the size of your bathroom, or smaller even. The third demand is to comply with the U.S. Commission on Human Rights. There are 2006 recommendations on the treatment of segregation prisoners. The fourth demand is better food, and the fifth demand is for programs such as correspondence courses and things that will enable them to improve their minds.
It seems that the prison system in the United States, and particularly California, ought to be inspected on a regular basis by the International Red Cross, just as the Guantanamo Bay. It seems the system itself is so broken and has degenerated into a form of, well, really medieval torture. Is there any regular inspection that takes place from a disinterested or objective entity?
No.
So essentially,
the people who run these prisons are political appointees. They have really no interest other than the salary and the political position. And the populations grow, and they have no idea what to do. In Washington State, our prisons are many managed by legislature, not by the prison administrators themselves, but by legislature. It makes it really difficult and makes things really get abhorrent.
We're out of time. Just final, very brief thoughts in 5 seconds. 5-10 seconds.
Go ahead, Ed. You got them.
Go ahead.
Well, the 13th Amendment legitimized slavery in the United States, or abolished slavery. Except for prisoners, we have 2.3 million slaves in the United States. We ought to change that. Bye-bye.
That's it for today. I want to thank both of my guests. So we're very, very fortunate to have you both joining us today, Mark Cook and Ed Mead, prison activists. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, July 9th, 2013. Janet Anderson engineered the show today. Thanks, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson's the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints. The defense begins its case in the Bradley Manning trial. We'll have a report from Washington. Also, was the State Department behind a secret break-in at the attorney's offices of a State Department whistleblower? You haven't heard about this one yet. NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden receives this year's award for truth-telling given by the Sam Adams Associates. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned.